Hello and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And we have Bishop Bradley, our bishop here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, is with us here today. Bishop, welcome.
Thank you, Deacon Louis. It's good to be with you and with all your listeners.
Wonderful to have you here today. And we try to have the bishop on at least once a month and to go over the readings with us or anything that's happening here in the diocese. And if you want to contact him or anyone here down at the diocese, you can go to diokzoo.org down here at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And there's lots of information there on the website, things about becoming Catholic, things about any of the things that you need, that you think you need done. Maybe it's things in your marriage or you're thinking about getting married or confirmation or baptism, any of those things you can see right there on the website. But this is the second Sunday of Advent, and the bishop's going to give us some reflection, and we're going to do some conversation about these readings and things that are going on in the church, maybe even a few things about Pope Francis. And so we're going to start our readings, and this is December 4th, 2016, second Sunday of Advent. And I'm going to read the first few readings, and then the bishop is going to read the gospel for us. So here's our first reading is from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. On that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from its root a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide. But he shall judge the poor with justice, and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and the faithful and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf of the young lion shall browse together, with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors, together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox, and the baby shall play by the cobra's den. And the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord. As water covers the sea, on that day, the root of Jesse set upon a signal for the nations. The Gentiles shall seek out for his glorious dwelling, for his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our psalm reading today, and another thing to remember too, is these mass readings, these readings are the readings that are read all over the world. And all the Catholic churches all over the world. So just really beautiful readings to meditate on. The millions and millions of people all over the world are reading these very same scriptures. Our psalm reading is Psalm 72. And there's different spots of the psalm. It's not the whole psalm. So it's Psalm 72, 1 and 2, 7 through 8, 12 through 13, and 17. Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
O God, with your judgment endows the king, with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace, till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth.
justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
May his name be blessed forever. As long as the sun, his name shall remain. In him shall all tribes of the earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and the fullness of peace forever.
Our second reading today is from Romans 15, 4 through 9. Brothers and sisters, whatever is written previously was written for our instruction. What by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ Jesus, that one with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another then, as Christ welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to conform the promises to the patriarchs, but so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now our gospel reading. Bishop Bradley is going to read our gospel reading.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So wonderful readings. And here we are in the second week, the second Sunday of Advent. So another candle is being lit.
And right, you Bishop? Know, we know when it's the second Sunday of Advent because John the Baptist appears on the scene.
That's right.
John the Baptist is sometimes, as we know, known as the Advent figure, because he and Isaiah, the prophet that we hear from so regularly during the Advent season, have many similarities, Isaiah and John the Baptist. But John the Baptist, of course, was the last of all of the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist stood right at that middle point, the end of the old and at the very beginning of the new, and his whole mission, his whole reason for living was, as we heard him say, to prepare the way of the Lord. He knew that who was coming after him would be the Messiah. He was so unworthy, and yet he had an essential role calling people to turn away from sin and be ready to receive the good news. So John the Baptist is a great figure, and as you say, Deacon, the second candle on the Advent wreath begins to be lit, and more of that light of Christ is coming into the world.
And we were talking a little bit about that last week, about this light. So now the light is twice as bright now with John the Baptist on the scene, like you're saying. And he is this coming of Elijah, right? He is this fulfillment of prophecy, mm-hmm. this coming of Elijah's coming back again. And, you know, I kind of looked a little bit forward in the next week. And, you know, so it's building. Things are building as we head towards Christmas. Is there anything in particular? I mean, I wanted to ask you, too. We had spoken a little earlier, too. But, you know, traditions that you had in your family, that you would have an Advent wreath. I know we've always had an Advent wreath.
Oh, sure. We always had our Advent wreath. And we would, you know, Advent when I was growing up was a lot still like Lent. There was a more of a penitential character to it, so that you know, some of the same diet restrictions that we experience in Lent, at least our family,
yes.
observed a good bit during the Advent season. So, you know, I can remember not eating between meals or not having candy, and looking forward to some of those Sundays of Advent, because there would be a little bit, you could step back and enjoy things a little bit more. But yes, those were some of my memories of the season of Advent.
So those are some good things. I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, those are good things for us to remember, too. And many times it's called the mini-Lent,
mm-hmm.
that Advent is called this mini-Lent. And I'm glad you brought that up, because those are things, simple traditions that we can bring back, think about as we prepare ourselves for not only, and of course in our first reading, we have this repentance, right? And that they're talking about here. And so, and in our gospel as well, how this is really a preparation of the coming of the Lord.
Well, you know, when you mention, again, Isaiah in that first reading, just talking about the day of the Lord, Isaiah talks about that so often. It's kind of like if we sit back and just imagine to ourselves, what would be the perfect world? What would be our perfect day? What is it that we would look forward to and think that there could be nothing better than that? Hopefully,
right.
Our answer is, well, that has to be heaven. Well, Isaiah, when he was doing that, when he was thinking about what can be coming that I can look forward to, it was the day of the Lord.
Right.
And so we hear Isaiah talk about that so often. And in today's first reading, we heard him say, on that day, the day of the Lord, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. And then he goes on to talk about the wonderful gifts that would come from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, all the different, what we've come to know, really, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah was anticipating those gifts even way back before Jesus had even entered into the world. So he talked about the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and strength and knowledge and fear of the Lord and delight in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
So it's that whole sense that Isaiah was looking forward to when the day of the Lord would come, when that great time would be fulfilled. We understand that Isaiah was looking forward to the coming of Jesus, the
right.
Messiah,
mm-hmm.
into the world. But Jesus told us also to look forward to what's going to come at the end of our lives. And that's that gift of eternal life with God in heaven. And so we prepare for that day of the Lord in our own lives by trying to do everything that we can to turn away from sin.
Absolutely.
in our lives here and now, to foster those gifts that the Spirit of the Lord brings to us, and to live our lives now in a way that helps to build that kingdom of heaven that John the Baptist said, here I am, prepare the way of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Absolutely. And I think we talked earlier too about, you know, unplugging from the world. You know, where do I find peace? You know, where can I find peace and truth? You know, as Isaiah was talking about in here, and the gospel talks about, and of course the church talks about, Pope Francis talks about this all the time. This is where we find peace. This is where we find truth.
Sure.
You know, we have this constant battle that's going on in the world. Where can I go where I can get some rest from that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Catholic Church has, you know, with all of its sacraments, with all of its tradition, this beautiful, you know, the beautiful thing about fasting, about recognizing how much food I'm taking and recognizing my behavior, taking an account of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants to do anybody else's inventory, right?
Sure.
So the church asks and says to us, you need to take stock of yourself.
Sure.
Look at yourself. Are you prepared? I love how you're always talking about, you know, am I ready to go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
You always talk about that. Every time I see you, you're talking about, you know, because you're a godly man and you're asking that question.
Well, you know,
just like we always are.
And that's the day of the Lord. You know,
amen.
It's going to come for each of us at some point. You know, we're
yes.
going to pass from this world into where? And I think it's very important that we have in clear in our mind where that where is.
Right.
That where what our hope is. And it really does come down to hope. We don't presume on God's love and mercy, but we hope that God is going to find that we have tried to live as though the kingdom of heaven was already here at hand, which of course it is. Jesus came into the world and to establish the kingdom. So and it goes back to again what we heard in the first reading from Isaiah. Not only the day of the Lord that would come and bring along these wonderful gifts, but when the day of the Lord would be like when animals, the whole of creation,
right.
Animals, wild and tame animals would get along like they were friends. So that, as we heard, you know, Isaiah say so beautifully, the wolf shall be the guest of the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion will browse together, a little child will guide them. Even in the world of nature, when the day of the Lord comes, there's no animosity.
Right.
Even at the natural level, we're, you know, they're not doing it out of spite or anger or anything else. It's
sure.
just the natural inclination. But even that would be resolved, where everybody, all of creation, would live in harmony with one another.
Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful. And I also think about that where he says, the little child will guide them. And what's happening? What's on the way for us now?
Absolutely.
Every year, this little child
the
is coming,
the birth of
right?
the Christ child.
Right.
Yeah.
And am I ready to do that?
The Prince of Peace, the
Amen.
One who would bring that ability for us if we simply followed his ways, where we could live in that harmony that Isaiah foretold. Now, we know that sin is what gets in the way of that, and it's mm-hmm. our own sins and the sins of the world. And,
absolutely.
And so we know that even though Jesus is the Prince of Peace, we're still working at that. But each and every one of us really needs to work at that, first of all, beginning in our own lives.
Amen.
So that we can live peacefully within ourselves, and among those people with whom we share life most intimately in our families. And then from there that we go forward and we try to be people of peace and harmony, or as the psalm response tells us, justice. Also, that we're called to be people that live in compassion, charity, mercy with one another.
And it always seems like this, You know, the church always puts us, and Scripture always puts us, justice is first, then comes love, then comes peace, right? So we have to have this reconciling thing has to happen, you know, and then all these other things start to happen first. But typically we always have, no, give me the peace first.
Sure.
It doesn't always work that way.
Well, as you know, we just completed the beautiful Jubilee Year of Mercy that Pope Francis had called the entire church, the whole world, to observe that just was concluded right before we began the season of Advent. So for a whole year, we have been focusing on God's mercy. But as Pope Francis so beautifully says, justice and mercy are two sides of the same coin. Mm. And you can't really have one without the other. So there needs to be justice, but it needs to be tempered with mercy.
Right.
And that is really the definition of love. So as you rightly talk about justice, mercy, and love, and that leads to peace,
right.
The peace that Jesus came to bring to the whole world.
And this is really found in the sacrament of reconciliation.
Sure.
Right? So we reconcile ourselves with God. We don't we're told to, you know, confess our sins to just anyone. The priest acts persona in Christe as the man Jesus to listen to us, to counsel us if we wish to have that type of counsel given to us, which I think is very healthy and good. Some people pay $150 an hour or more to talk to a psychiatrist, psychologist, and they can go to a priest and really get some real traction as far as solving these, cleaning house, receiving this sacrament, and coming back to church. And so many people that I talk to, and of course I know there's Catholic churches all over the diocese, especially this month, who are having reconciliation services. So, you know, if you don't feel comfortable going to your parish pastor, you know, and going to reconciliation, you can go to another parish. There's no problem with that, right?
Sure. Well, you know, this is the month where we're just so busy with so many things. We're decorating our homes and baking our cookies and sending out our Christmas cards and buying our gifts. But we also need to make sure that we're making time to spiritually prepare as well. That's what Advent is. It's a season of preparation. It's a season of waiting. As we all know, Deacon Lou, and perhaps I'm pretty sure you talked about this maybe last week, but Advent is a time for us to really celebrate, get ready to celebrate Jesus' first coming at Christmas. Mm. But we also think about the fact that he is going to come at the end of all time as well. In what we call the second coming or the final coming. But there's also all of those ways that he comes to us between that first coming and that final coming. And he's coming to us in so many ways. He wants to be with us, but we have to be prepared to see him and meet him and receive him. One of the ways of doing that, of course, is by preparing for the sacraments, receiving the Eucharist, and being worthy to do that as worthy as we can by going to receive a good Christmas confession. So it's a wonderful thing to put on our to-do list, along with baking and decorating and gift buying and greetings.
So. Absolutely. And doing a little cleaning house.
Sure.
In order to really receive the fullness of that grace that we receive in the Holy Eucharist.
Sure.
And Christ is here with us this very day.
Sure.
You know, this very day. Yes.
You know, the one reading that we haven't touched on is today's second reading.
Yes.
St. Paul's beautiful writing to the Romans. But I think there was one line in there that just struck me so much when he said, by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then he went on to say, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Endurance, which means we don't ever give up. Endurance, which means perseverance in the faith, in the face of whatever trials or difficulties that we might go through. And by the encouragement of Scripture, the good news of the gospel, the good news that Jesus has come to save us from our sins. He's already done that. He has saved us. We need to avail ourselves of that great gift that he's given us by repenting and turning away from sin and making a good confession and living in peace and harmony with one another. And that will lead us, as he said, that we might have hope. Where would we be without that great virtue of hope?
Amen.
And that's what Advent is all about. It's that hope in the fact Jesus has come, he will come again.
Yes.
And in the meantime, he remains with us through his church and through the sacraments.
Very nice, yes. And that's great, you know, and there's a great reading, and, you know, any of you who want to look it up, you know, exactly what Bishop is titled in the Catechism, 2627, is this blessing of the Holy Spirit upon us, right? This huge blessing of the Holy Spirit upon us and this grace that comes through that. But a big part of that is, am I reconciled? You know, what is Jesus going into? You know, is he going into a place that looks like a garbage dump, or is he going into a place that looks like a beautiful garden, you know, like after reconciliation? So, very nice. And on the gospel reading, any reflection on that, Bishop, that you can think of that on this Matthew, this John the Baptist, this, you know, and here we go back to penance again, right? So it's got this saying, repent. You know, some of us don't want to hear that word repent. In the old Douay Rheims version, it says do penance.
Sure.
So it's a type of, you know, here we go, you know, and you know, we don't want to be called a brood of vipers either, right?
Well, you know, John the Baptist, of course, said, you know, my baptism is a baptism of repentance. With Jesus, but our baptism, what we've all been baptized into, is into the life of Christ.
Amen.
And so, you know, John the Baptist's baptism was good, but it missed the fullness of what it is that we, who are people of faith, who are Christians, who are baptized into Christ,
amen,
and have been baptized into his body, we're all a part of the body of Christ. We're members of that body. And as members of the body, we have to make sure that we're trying to always repent and turn away from our sins and live with one another in a spirit of love and compassion. So it's a message that the people were coming out to hear from all over the area to hear John the Baptist, but he was saying, make sure you're here for the right reason.
Amen.
Not just here because everybody else is doing it. You have to be really ready to receive the kingdom of heaven.
Right, just not getting and following along with the crowd,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
But be serious about what you're doing.
Right. Because he was preparing for the one who was coming.
Very nice. And of course, you know, we've only got about, we only have about a minute left. Or about 2 minutes left. So, any other thoughts that you've got on this gospel reading, and then maybe a few thoughts, and then a blessing for us.
Well, sure. I think as we listen to this, the second Sunday of Lent, Advent. This is one of those Advents, by the way, where we really truly get to have 4 weeks of Advent. So often we get just a fourth week, and it's maybe a day or two, but we have 4 full weeks of Advent. So we're approaching the halfway point of this great season. Advent is the smallest, the shortest of all the seasons, well, other than Christmas and Epiphany, I guess. It can come and be gone before we know it, because there's so many other things going on in our lives. We're decorating our houses with lights because we're preparing for the light of Christ to come. We prepare our houses with evergreens and wreaths because we know that that's that hope. It's not going to be barren like it is outside right now. It's going to eventually, new life is coming back as Jesus brings us that new life. So Advent is a season we have to make sure we try to do the very best we can to embrace and enter into and have the benefits of the graces that Jesus wants to bring us. And so in that spirit, as we celebrate this day, and we hope and pray that all of our listeners today will be filled with many blessings and graces of this day and of the rest of the season. And so we ask your blessing upon us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
You're welcome.